Matthew chapter 6. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse number 1. Take heed. And right away you know this is a serious matter. Take heed, Jesus said, that you do not your alms before men. In other words, don't be righteous so that people will see you, before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Why would God reward you if you did a good deed or if you gave money in order to draw attention to yourself? It may appear outwardly to be unselfish, but it's selfish. That will not be rewarded. Verse 2, therefore, when you do your alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. In other words, people who do good deeds or give money to church in order to be seen by men, in order to be admired by people, well, that's the only reward that they will receive. I suppose some will admire them. God won't. 3, but when you do alms, let not your left hand know what your right hand does. In other words, keep it to yourself. Don't go talking about it. Verse 4, that your alms may be in secret, and your Father, which sees in secret himself, shall reward you openly. Don't worry. Just because other people don't see the good things that you do or the money that you give to a good ministry, God sees it, and he's going to reward you. He won't let that pass without giving you a reward for your sincere desire to do something that pleases him. 5, and when you pray, and notice, when you pray, God is teaching us that it is necessary to pray. It's not if you pray, but when you pray. You shall not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Again, it's the idea that people are seeing me pray, and they're going to think I'm wonderful. Well, that's very selfish. And by the way, that's not praying to God. That's putting on a show for people and for your own sake. So don't do that. Verse 6, but you, when you pray, enter into your closet. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly. So pray in private, where it's just between you and God. And don't go talking about it. I mean, there's nothing wrong with telling people that you pray. And there's nothing wrong with public prayer either, as long as you don't pray in order to impress people. That's the thing that's wrong. 7, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. God does not count how many words you pray, and then when you reach a certain plateau, you know, you sort of push him over the edge and then he will answer your prayer. No, he doesn't keep track of the number of words that you use. He's not impressed with that. On the other hand, I don't know, praying and praying and praying the same thing over and over again, there's nothing wrong with it if it comes from your heart. You know, if you don't know what else to say and you're just seeking God, you just want to commune with him, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you're trying to impress him, again, with the number of words that you speak, then, again, that's the problem. Don't do that. Verse 8, because the key word, I think, is vain, going back to verse 7. Jesus doesn't say, when you pray, do not use repetition. Nothing wrong with repetitious prayer, but he says, don't use vain repetition, mindless, brainless, not even thinking about God type of repetition. Verse 8, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. Yet when we pray, we don't tell God anything new. We don't inform God about anything. He already knows. But so keep your prayers direct and simple, if possible. God knows what you need. Verse 9, after this manner, therefore, pray you, Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It's a wonderful prayer to pray, word for word. I don't agree with those who say this should not be prayed, but instead it's a model prayer. Well, yes, it's a model prayer. I think every aspect of prayer that you could possibly imagine is found in that simple prayer that was composed by Jesus Christ. For that reason, it's a great prayer to pray, word for word. But again, think about what you're saying. That's the important thing. Verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. In other words, don't hold a grudge, or God may reverse your forgiveness. He won't forgive you if you don't forgive others. Don't be bitter. 16, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And again, it's the idea of doing something to draw attention to yourself. God is not pleased with anything like that, and it's a waste of time, spiritually speaking. He shows us how to do it, verse 17, but you, when you fast, anoint your head and your face, and wash your face, that you appear not unto men to fast, but unto your Father, which is in secret, and your Father, which sees in secret, shall reward you openly. Yeah, don't try to get people to think that you are just so suffering so much because you're so pious. Again, that's drawing attention to self. And they may think that, but remember, that'll be the only reward that you get. When you fast, don't make a big deal of it. Nothing wrong with telling somebody that you're fasting. It may encourage them to fast as well. Just make sure that when you fast, you're doing it to seek the Lord and to seek God's favor. Verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. In other words, don't hoard material possessions, because they have a way of corrupting and falling, and you have a way of, people have a way of losing them, or they're stolen or something. They have a way of disappearing. And so he says in verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. You see, what you do for God, what you do for Jesus, will earn you eternal rewards. And they're in heaven's bank, collecting interest. And you won't lose them. Verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And some people say, well, I'm going to wait till I'm sold out for Jesus, and then I'll give more. No, you start giving more now. Because as you put treasure in heaven, through your good works and through your giving here on earth, your attitude toward Christ will change for the better. If you have treasure in heaven, you'll have commitment and dedication to Christ. Verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye be single, your whole body shall be full of light. If your eye is working properly, your body will be able to detect light and see what's around it. Verse 23, but if your eye be evil, your whole body shall be full of darkness. You won't be able to see anything if your eye doesn't work. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So if you're blind, if you're spiritually blind because you reject the word of God, and yet for some reason you think that you see, you're really in trouble. It's one thing to be blind and know that you're blind, to be spiritually blind and know that you don't know anything spiritually. That's one thing. There's hope. But if you don't know the truth and you think you do, well, then you're going down the wrong path and you feel perfectly comfortable. That's dangerous. 24, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and material possessions, money, wealth. You can't. They are diametrically opposed to one another. You serve God. You put him first. And then you enjoy whatever he gives you. Just don't take his gifts like money or anything else and put them before God. And that's always a danger. Trusting in wealth instead of God is a danger. Putting your desires upon material things more than upon God is always a danger, because they buy you fun things. They buy you a measure of security in this life. And you should be looking to God, to Jesus, for those things, not to material possessions. Use material possessions, but don't let them control you. 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on it. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? There's more to life than food and clothing. There's more to life than decorating your body or stuffing your body full of delicious food or tickling your flesh doing this or that. There's life is more important than just that. And so don't make those things a priority. 26, behold the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Don't worry about hoarding food so you have stuff for the future. Don't worry about hoarding money so that you have money for the future. God takes care of the birds. He will take care of you if you're his child through Jesus Christ. It just doesn't pay to worry. Verse 27, which of you by taking thought, worrying and fretting, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why do you take thought, worry about raiment, and that'd be clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And look at this. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. God takes care of all of creation. He'll take care of you. 29, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. 30, wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Look, you are much more important than the flowers, wildflowers. Around here we have several different types of wildflowers that begin to blossom and grow in the spring. And they last for a couple weeks, 3 weeks, or something like that, and that's about it. And then they die, and then some new wildflowers pop up, and they last maybe a few weeks, and then they die, at the most a few weeks. And yet God takes care of them while they're here. He makes them look so beautiful. And the point is, you as a Christian are much more important to God than some wildflower that lasts 3 weeks. But if he takes care of them, if he makes them look so good, and he provides everything that they need for the duration of their life, don't you think he's going to provide for you? Someone who has been created in his image and in his likeness, of course he will. That's the point. Verse 31, wherefore take no thought. In other words, don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Yeah, the unsaved live for the things of the world, hoard the things of the world. To the unsaved, the things of this world are God's. And don't be that way if you're a Christian. God knows you need these things. So don't put them before him. He tells us what to do in verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Don't worry about having enough. If you put Jesus first, confessing when you fail, if you put Jesus first, he's going to make sure that you have enough of whatever it is you need to do, whatever it is he wants you to do for as long as he wants you to live. Put him first. God makes it simple, see? Focus on him, everything else will fall into place. Doesn't mean you're going to be irresponsible. That's not godly. That's not biblical. But put God first. Let your devotion be fixed on him. 34, take no thought for the morrow. In other words, don't worry about the future. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In other words, don't worry about tomorrow's problems. You got enough problems today to worry about. Besides, the things that you're worrying about tomorrow, next week, they may never happen. You know what? You may not be here. You may not be here, or they just may not materialize, in spite of how you worry that they might. Most of the things that people worry about do not happen. But even if they do, you put God first, he'll take care of you.